You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up Here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. If you're in Wausau listening on WXEO or in Richland Center on WRCE or up in the Northwoods in Hayward on WBZH, we are glad that you're here.
Yeah, welcome. We're glad. Welcome to the second hour. You can always listen on the Civic Media app, tell your friends, and tell your enemies, especially, because we want them here.
Yes.
So if you're thinking to yourself, hey, Brian and Jamie, I don't really still understand why we're at war. Nobody's really given me a reason. The president says one thing, Marco Rubio says another thing. Am I nuts? No, my friend, you are not, because there are conflicting messages coming out of this White House regarding what's happening now in Iran, and nobody can seem to get their story straight. I really think this is the kind of administration where it's like a troubled marriage. Everybody's there, they're all staying, but they don't talk. And so, the husband will go out and say something, then the wife will say something contradictory, then they'll be compared, and there'll be all kinds of things. So yesterday, one of the big questions has been, listen, did Israel force your hand, our hand? Is the president basically muscle for hire for Netanyahu? Did we get dragged into this because Israel told us to? Some differing opinions. Did Israel force our hand? Was a direct question to the president yesterday, and he said this, Jamie, cut one.
Mr. President, did Israel force your hand to launch these strikes against Iran? Did Netanyahu pull the United States into this war?
No, I might have forced their hand. You see, we were having negotiations with these lunatics, and it was my opinion that they were going to attack first. They were going to attack. If we didn't do it, they were going to attack first. I felt strongly about that. And we have great negotiators, great people, people that do this very successfully and have done it all their lives very successful. And based on the way the negotiation was going, I think they were going to attack first. And I didn't want that to happen. So if anything, I might have forced Israel's hand. But Israel was ready and we were ready. And we've had a very, very powerful impact because virtually everything they have has been knocked out now.
Jamie, do you notice that whenever he comes up with a lie, he repeats it incessantly?
Yeah.
And that's what he did. That's what he did there.
He
just kept repeating. They were going to attack. They were going to attack. They were going to attack. There was absolutely zero evidence from every security agency, not only in our country, but in other countries.
Yes.
There was none. Okay. So, but we knocked him out. But then what else? Has to be it, right? The man has spoken.
No, here's the thing. The president's explanation yesterday in the Oval Office, sitting next to the German chancellor, appeared to differ greatly from what Secretary of State Marco Rubio had said on Monday.
It
basically saying that the U.S. acted partly because it expected Iran to retaliate after an Israeli attack. So this is Marco Rubio on Monday. This is cut two.
There absolutely was an imminent threat, and the imminent threat was that we knew that if Iran was attacked, and we believed they would be attacked, that they would immediately come after us. And we were not going to sit there and absorb a blow before we responded, because the Department of War assessed that if we did that, if we waited for them to hit us first after they were attacked, and by someone else, Israel attacked them, they hit us first, and we waited for them to hit us, we would suffer more casualties and more deaths. We went proactively in a defensive way to prevent them from inflicting higher damage.
All right.
I don't think he knows what defensive means.
No, he doesn't. But that was Monday, all right?
Monday,
I want everybody to keep that statement in mind
and
from Monday.
Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. So,
yesterday,
Secretary of State Marco Rubio, again, addressed the press, and this was his answer. Cut three.
Yesterday, you told us that Israel was going to strike Iran, and that's why we needed to get involved. Today, the president said that Iran was going to get
Yeah, your statement is false, so that's not what he... I was asked very specifically. Were you there yesterday?
Yes, I asked
okay.
a question.
No, were you the one that... Because somebody asked me a question yesterday. Did we go in because of Israel? And I said, you asked me that. You from that follow-up. And I said, no. I told you this had to happen anyway. The president made a decision, and the decision he made was that Iran was not going to be allowed to hide behind its ballistic missile program, that Iran was not going to be allowed to hide behind its ability to conduct these attacks. That decision had been made. The president systematically made a decision to systematically destroy this terroristic capability that they had, and we carried that out. I was very clear in that answer. This was a question of timing, of why this had to happen as a joint operation, not the question of the intent.
Not the question of the intent, and no, that is a false statement. The mental gymnastics that are happening right before our very eyes, I mean, I'll give it to them. It's impressive. It's frustrating. It's scary. It doesn't give me hope that we have a path out of whatever's happening in the Middle East right now, but the mental gymnastics are quite impressive. I will say that.
I guess, but if this was in your normal life, you'd call that person a pathological liar and cut them out of your life completely, because nothing that comes out of their mouths is true.
Right.
It's not amazing. The brazenness of it, though, is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, boy, they really, really think we're not paying attention, and yet the reporters that they make these statements to are the same reporters the next day. Do they think we switch out the press pool every day? I'm tired. I'm staying home for a week. No, bring in the B team. It's the same. When that reporter said, I asked the question.
Right.
It was like, and now they're going to parse words.
Right. And I mean, honestly, when this story continues to keep changing like this, people are going to start asking questions. What's the actual plan? That's the question that people want to know right now, because it is getting worse and worse over in the Middle East. And there are no real answers coming out of the administration right now. Now, when it came to yesterday's comments from the president, he also didn't provide public evidence that Iran posed that imminent threat. Now, as you mentioned, and this is where it's going to be key, I think, is previous U.S. intelligence assessments. And so we're going to keep repeating this. They reportedly indicated that Iran would not be capable of striking the U.S. mainland with missiles for several more years. Now, the president acknowledged that many potential Iranian leaders the U.S. might have seen as successors have been killed in these strikes, also raising uncertainty about who might actually take power next. The president sitting in the Oval Office with his entire cabinet around him and the chancellor of Germany said that regime change is not clearly planned. Sounds a little bit like Venezuela, right? But admitted the worst case would be someone equally hardline taking over. This is cut four.
Mr. President, what's the worst case scenario that you have planned for in Iran?
Well, I don't know if there's a worst case. We have them very much beaten militarily from the military standpoint. They're still lobbing some missiles. At some point, they won't even be able to do that because we're hitting all of their carriers. We're hitting all of their missile stock. You know, they built up all these missiles over the last few years. Yeah. They had a lot of them. They've shot a lot of them, and we're knocking out a lot. I guess the worst case would be we do this and then somebody takes over who's as bad as the previous person, right? That could happen. We don't want that to happen. That would probably be the worst. You go through this and then in 5 years you realize you put somebody in who is no better. So we'd like to see somebody in there that's going to bring it back for the people.
Yeah.
Wow.
They really did not. I like that he turned to the German chancellor. It was like, that could happen, right? Like, back me up on this. I'm not crazy, am I? This is, right? We got this. Wow.
There was a lot of words coming out of the Oval Office yesterday. If you watched the entirety of what happened, I did not personally leave watching whatever it was, thinking, wow, look at us. We've got a plan. No. America's going to persevere here. We're definitely not going into some long-term war. Those were not feelings that I had after watching the president of the United States in the Oval Office yesterday.
No, and my biggest takeaway was, well, that he has no idea what's going on. And two, that he actually said in front of cameras and reporters that he was surprised that Iran was striking back. He was surprised by this. Who are your advisors? Who did you talk to? Did Netanyahu just say to you, don't worry, they're not going to bother us. We'll hit them and everything will be fine. I've never done Netanyahu. That was pretty good. But that has to be the thing, because who's surprised that if you bomb a country, they're not going to retaliate?
And kill their supreme leader?
Yes.
And several of his cabinet members all at the same time? Yes,
and they don't have a track record of being passive. These are evil, evil people who have been carrying out attacks for decades. So to think that they were just going to go, oh no,
yeah,
it's the U.S., we better stop.
Yeah, no, they weren't doing that. And as we talk about this, monitoring the news this morning, the Israeli military is now saying that Iran and Hezbollah have carried out the first coordinated attacks on Israel of this particular conflict. So we are escalating. We're also getting word this morning as we're monitoring this and having this discussion about things that were said yesterday. There's experts that are now skeptical of the president's plan, President Trump, that is, to escort merchant ships. Shipping experts say that the plan that Donald Trump has laid out so that escort ships and oil tankers can be navigated through the Strait of Hormuz, which is completely closed, is not feasible with the attacks that are happening in the area. Israel has also vowed to kill Iran's next supreme leader as Tehran strikes back this morning.
It sounds like something that's going to take a lot more than 4 weeks, let's be honest. And Pete Hegseth and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dan Kane, are having a briefing now. As I glanced over, Pete was once again blaming the media for this, that the best of the best who have died, talking about the service members, the six so far American service members dead because of this, saying that they will be avenged. But then, you know, drones are going to fall out of the sky sometimes, and the media just wants to make this president look bad. So why don't you do yourselves a favor and report the facts and report the good things instead of always trying to make the president look bad? And I'm paraphrasing, but that was he did blame the press for, once again, all the bad publicity that his ill-thought-out war
I'm going to point out the obvious. It's not the press who's making this administration or the president look bad. It's their own actions and their own words right now. Yes. And the fact that they can't keep a story straight in the media as this progresses. I mean, yesterday, Donald Trump has been telling us, yesterday in the Oval Office, he actually said that oil prices could rise temporarily because of this conflict, but they'll eventually fall. They'll eventually fall were his words.
Well, yeah, everything will eventually fall.
Yeah, I mean, they did not understand the ramifications. At least that's how it feels as we observe what's happening right now. They did not know the ramifications that the Middle East and any sort of conflict would have on a global scale. And it's almost...
They don't care about the global scale. And they don't care what happens here. He wants to impose his will wherever he is. He acts impulsively. He wants to curry favor with people who have basically given him whatever he wants. Qatar gave him a plane. Mm-hmm. Israel takes care. Everybody who gives him stuff, he'll do what they want. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. If you're thinking, Brian, we need a breath.
Yeah, we do.
We'll have one because Swiper Stay coming up next on this program.
It's 7:19. You're listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I love that the opening says we need to break out of the bubble, because this political bubble is one that I want popped very, very soon. It is 7:22 right now. Thank you for joining us. And we are excited for another edition of Swiper Stay. Our senior producer, Frank, joins us right now.
Hola, hey, Frank. Guys. How are we doing this morning? We good?
Well, we're
Frank. The world's on fire, buddy. But I'm sure there's celebrity news or some sort of pop culture story that we need to talk about.
Yeah, we all need a little palate cleanse in the morning. Do. So,
like a sorbet.
I wouldn't call it that.
I wouldn't either.
I think others might.
I have some mood lighting again this morning. I'm being blinded right now.
The sun has come in. Great.
I'm ready.
Here we go. We have some pop culture headlines. I'm going to say them to Brian and Jamie. They're going to have to decide if they want to stay on the topic and hear more about it or swipe on to the next one. In the event of a tie, Parker gets to be the tiebreaker. Here we go. Story number one. A musician makes history.
Swipe.
Yeah. Oh, okay. They make history a lot.
Right off the bat. Okay.
Yeah, that one we didn't care for that story, no. Frank.
You guys make the decisions around
here. Okay. All right.
I just produced it on this show.
I understand.
A pop culture term was added to the dictionary.
Oh, stay. These are always
fun.
Oh,
yeah. You know I love dropping some pop culture. I hope it's mogging.
So now we're going to stay for this one. Okay.
Yeah.
We're
going to.
Yeah.
Bypass history. We're going to stay for the dictionary.
It's because this is our language, Frank. This is what we do. We're wordsmithies.
I mean, you work with us every day. You should know where our minds head.
You know, I love
dictionary. I'm in.
Yeah. And I love to sound like I know what's going on.
Right.
So I use these pop culture
terms. We love to be cool.
Taylor Swift fans have officially been honored because the term Swiftie has officially been added to dictionary.com.
Okay.
I love
it. So you're probably wondering why now. The term has officially met the criteria. It needs to be used by a lot of people. Yeah. It's used by those people in generally the same way.
Okay.
And it's likely to last a long time, and it's useful for a large audience.
Oh, well, that would apply to Taylor Swift and Swifties all over the globe.
Right. But Swifties is a name, isn't it? Does that go in the dictionary?
Boy, that's stunned us.
Wow, it's an adjective for a group of people.
Okay. Parker, are you a Swiftie?
I'm not a Swiftie, no.
Not based on his last comment, he's not a Swiftie.
No, apparently not.
Apparently I'm anti-Swiftie.
You're just not Swift.
I would like to point out the comment that just came in from Len on our text slide. He says, wipe or stay, get a bidet.
No, it's swipe.
Swipe, Len.
Swipe, Len. You know, like on an app.
Bidets are great.
I've never used one.
Yes. I haven't either. No.
All right, Jamie, what does that teach us? Enunciation is key. Frank, it's swipe or stay.
And we're going to swipe on over to the next one. We have a celebrity that was warned by the FDA.
Oh,
what?
I'll stay.
All right, I'll stay.
We're staying on this one. So I'm going to be honest here. Celebrity is a bit of a...
Okay.
And the FDA doesn't exist. So this story is fake. Fake news.
Former reality star and recent guest host on The View, Savannah Chrisley, could be in trouble with the FDA over her Good Girl RX business. So I looked it up today.
How is she in trouble with the FDA? Because that family is a completely... entrenched in Trump's land and Trump's world.
So here's the deal. The feds took issue with some claims her company made concerning compounded semaglutide and tirzepatide products. The FDA didn't like that she used the phrases FDA approved meds.
Well, that's because they don't exist.
FDA approved options and clinically proven GLP-1 results.
Oops. Is that because they didn't actually agree or because they don't exist? I would have questions for the FDA
stuff doesn't
at this
work,
point.
Probably.
Right.
Yes, I would say yes.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
FDA ordered her to change the verbiage on her website within 15 days or else she would face consequences. She has changed the verbiage on her website since then, but she's kind of under a microscope right now with that website.
Interesting.
Now,
Frank,
guys,
you're using the Dancing with the Stars definition of celebrity here, or star.
I mean, she was recently on The View.
She was.
I watched her one day on The View.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did.
Have you ever watched that reality show? I've watched like 5 minutes of the Chrisley reality show.
That's the guy who looks like his face is made of plastic, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. When he got out of jail, there were like TikTok edits of like the best moments on that show. There were some good moments. non-political moments that were pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'll give them that.
Yeah. Okay.
Next story.
A pop star is set to debut album with a Netflix special.
Boring.
Swipe.
Bad. Swipe. I'm going to wipe that one. All right. I'm wiping it.
Final one. Popular TV show has a movie in the works.
Ooh, I think I know this story, and I'm going to say stay.
What is it, Brian?
Peaky Blinders?
It is not Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
Game of Thrones is finally getting a movie.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Well, look at all of us. Like, what?
Warner Brothers is in the development phase of a Game of Thrones movie. This will be focusing on King Aegon Targaryen's conquest of Westeros. For those of you who that sounded like complete gibberish, let me put it in simple terms for you. None of the main cast from the show that everybody loved will be in this.
Oh, that's okay. Good.
All right.
This
well,
is
so
hundreds of years earlier.
Oh, so it's a prequel. Those are always weird.
It's a prequel. Okay. So they already have prequels out right now.
Yeah.
They have
House of Dragons.
House of the Dragon, yeah. Which completely fell off. I didn't love it.
Are you guys Game of Thrones people?
The original Game of Thrones? Yeah.
Okay.
It's so good.
I watched every episode. I didn't stay awake for any episode. So I watched part of every episode and I slept through the second part.
I'm a fan. Jeez.
I've never even watched
it. I never said I was
it.
A fan.
How
I
do
said
you
I just
through that show.
Well, one, it's very dark. So not mood wise, but lighting wise.
That's true.
And also, I'm tired, Frank.
Marcus, I have 20 seconds. We'll talk about this during break.
Okay.
That was Swipe and Stay.
It's 7:29 right now. You're listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 7:35 this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. A beautiful day with lots of sunshine, starting to see some warmer temperatures across the area. And hey, we've got a time change this weekend as well. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. Give us a call. Send us a text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And also, let's give some advance warning. At 8 o'clock, if you are listening on the regular radio machine on WMDX in Madison, you will be listening to Stephanie Miller. But if you want to continue listening to us for our final hour, like the rest of the network, don't be left out. Be one of the cool kids. Come along with us for that last hour. You can do it on the Civic Media app. So it's free wherever you get your apps. Go check that out. And you can pick up all our podcasts. You can listen to our great interviews. And you can listen live to the final hour if you are listening in Madison on the radio.
Yes. And hey, if you like what you're hearing from us, please go check out our new social media pages. Give us a like over there. You can find us on Facebook. Just do a search for Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. You can also find us on Instagram as well. We would very much appreciate it as you're watching on the live stream or on, as that we like to say, an old school terrestrial radio.
Old school radio. We love old school radio.
That's right.
Boy, would more shenanigans around Wisconsin elections and election deniers and recall attempts. Wisconsin's top election officials are now recommending, Jamie, criminal charges against more than a dozen people who helped carry out a failed recall campaign against Robin Voss. What I found weird is out of the 13 people, 12 were not from Wisconsin. Only one of those people has a Wisconsin address, but it is
seems a little suspect.
Yeah, they notified these 13 people that the panel would found probable cause that they had violated election fraud laws while attempting to gather enough signatures to force a recall election against Voss.
Yeah, and this was a recall effort that was led by supporters of President Donald Trump. At the time, it was former President Donald Trump, because we have to go all the way back to 2020 for this. They were upset with Voss over his criticism of Trump and Voss's refusal to try to overturn Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election results.
Boy, this sounds very familiar to the FBI story we were talking about. Somebody just doing their job, like Robin Voss saying, no, our election was legal here in Wisconsin, and we're not going to investigate it. Oh, you did your job? you got to go.
Yeah. Look, I'm no fan, and I'm not going to be a cheerleader of Robin Voss, no. But this isn't about liking him or not liking him. This right. is about the integrity of the system. And the recall effort happened because these people were angry that he did his job, essentially. He upheld the certified results. He followed the law. That's exactly what he was supposed to do in that moment. So I still find the fact that in 2026, because, right, refresh my memory, we didn't warp back in time. It is 2026.
No, it is 2026.
Okay, good. That we still are having conversations about an election that happened in 2020. I cannot get over the fact that we have to keep going back in time to relitigate something that has obviously been proven to be a fair election. Any of the investigations have not panned out. They have found no credibility that any fraud happened in that election. And
so many facts, Jamie. Why with all the facts?
Well,
wouldn't it be nice if we can prove that the 2020 election was stolen, it was illegitimate. That means I'm only serving one term now, one legitimate term, because, of course, the last election was perfect.
Right.
Because I won. Everything was hunky-dory.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to Georgia. Let's get some records down there. Let's talk about a recall effort that failed because somebody dared to defend the integrity of their state's elections.
Yep.
And we'll find a way to keep him in office.
Right. Now, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, two volunteers in this particular case, going back to 2020, trying to recall Robin Voss, allegedly listed false addresses on official paperwork, which is required to circulate recall petitions. 11 individuals allegedly submitted fraudulent voter signatures in 2024. So now we're moving up yet another election, right?
Okay.
Voss filed the complaint that triggered this investigation. And the commission said that Voss provided credible affidavits from voters who claimed they did not sign the recall petitions, even though their names actually appeared on them. You can't do that. You can't. That is actual fraud. In case you're wondering, that is actual fraud. And oh, by the way, in Wisconsin, there is less than 1% of voter fraud, just in case anybody wants to, you know, relitigate 2020. Less than 1%.
Listen, I don't believe you're an attorney. You've done a lot of things. Did you pass the bar?
I did not, but I can read.
All right, then I may have to. Then you're telling me that there is a chance that all these facts may be wrong.
Well, according to the Wisconsin Election Commission, they are not. And you can go read this information for yourself. Now, what I'm going to say is people who want to believe that the 2020 election was stolen, they don't care what the courts have said. They don't care what a lawyer says. They're certainly not going to probably care what I say, but 100%. We're still going to dabble in the facts when it comes to this because less than 1% of voter fraud happens in this state.
At some point, you hope that there's a crack in that. Is it stubbornness? Is it lack of intelligence? What is it? It's that bias that you can't admit you're wrong. But at some point, there's going to have to be an acceptance of, all right, we got to let 2020 go because it's not going our way. And we're starting to look look ridiculous. 6 years later, we're still going back and trying to prove something that has been disproven all the time.
Multiple times, over and over. Hundreds of times, I would like to say at this
you
point in
time.
You think
they'd be so busy at their flat earth meetings that they wouldn't have time to keep coming back to try to relitigate this.
You would think, but in this particular case, recall organizers had previously blamed the forged signatures on sabotage and claimed that people from outside Wisconsin were involved. I'm sure it probably had something to do with large buses of people coming in, and because we've heard that over and over from the supporters of
the vote dumps.
Exactly. Most of the 13 individuals, though, recommended for charges live outside Wisconsin, as you rightfully pointed out. Only one has an actual Wisconsin address. The case will now be referred to the Racine County District Attorney, who will decide whether to actually file charges now.
I don't mean to interrupt.
please do. You should.
Well, no. Weren't they complaining about out-of-state people coming in to vote?
Yes.
When 12 of the 13 live
outside? They weren't voting.
Outside?
They just wanted to make sure the election results were not verified, and so it wasn't voting. See, this is where you have to parse your words carefully with these individuals, because these people were not actually voting. They were just concerned citizens worried about Wisconsin's election integrity, and so they were coming from other places in order to recall Robin Voss because they didn't like the results of 2020 in the state of Wisconsin.
It would be very interesting to see where those 12 people, what states those 12 people are from. I'm going to guess, and Jamie, again, this is just a guess.
Sure.
You could call it an educated guess, or you could call it fact masquerading as a guess, that they all came from states that voted red without any question. That would be my guess.
I'm going to assume that is probably correct. I'm also going to assume that these were states that were hard supporters for Donald Trump in 2020, and I'm going to also go out on a ledge and say that these are probably individuals who in some way, shape, or form are involved in their own state's elections. That's going to be my guess.
Could they be the same people that will show up at where the ballots are being counted and bang on the windows and scream? Could it be the same type of person?
It could very much be those type of people. Now, the Wisconsin Elections Commission did not find enough evidence to charge the leaders of the recall campaign itself. The recall effort failed twice. Twice it failed, and it never gathered enough valid signatures to actually trigger an election. Voss recently announced, of course, that he plans to retire. You got to think with Voss in 13 years at this point, right? Maybe even Voss has had enough.
There has to be a limit on how much. Well, but then you look at guys like Mitch McConnell, who never seems to have enough, or Lindsey Graham, or Nancy Pelosi, all these people who've never seemed to have enough.
Right.
And they're just like,
yeah.
Just a quick update, if we can.
Yeah, please.
We're talking now. We've been mentioning, we haven't delved into it too deeply, the fact that the U.S. seems to be running low on munitions in the Middle East, and that may prove to be a problem if this war were to be extended past the, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks that were originally planned. Well, in the press conference that Pete Hegseth and General Dan Kane had, General Kane assured people that the U.S. has enough munitions to cover what we need to cover. So,
yeah,
you know, he'd probably know better.
Yeah.
But multiple sources, including the Wall Street Journal and others, have reported that we are running low on those anti-missile interceptors.
Yes. And as we kind of talk about that press conference that was held this morning, General Dan Kane also said that after establishing air superiority in Iran, the U.S. will now begin to expand inland. They will forces will strike progressively deeper into Iranian territory and create additional freedom of maneuver for U.S. forces. He went on to say that Iran's missile launches are down 86% as of this morning. They have dropped sharply since the start of the U.S.-Israeli strikes on the country, describing what he called steady progress by U.S. forces in the region. And this just coming in, China is now warning that this war with Iran threatens the Strait of Hormuz and the global energy supplies. They have called for Iran, the United States, and Israel to immediately stop fighting to avoid causing greater damage to global economic growth. We mentioned it right off the top of the show, the Asian stock markets dropped steeply this morning in light of what's happening in the Middle East. So you got to think that Asia's got a little bit more of a stake in all of this, even if they're not involved militarily.
Well, and as the day goes on, we'll see the progress. If, in fact, Iran's missile launches are down 86%, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs has said, then that will be evident as we watch coverage throughout the day.
Sure.
You know, maybe they stopped or they're recalibrating. Who knows? Or maybe they are. Maybe we are making that kind of inroad. But it would still surprise the president that they're fighting back.
To what extent are we making those inroads, though? Because this morning, the death toll is now over 1,000 people Obviously, we know the six service members from the United States that have been killed. The names were released publicly yesterday, but over 1,000 people. And so we are talking mostly civilians in this particular case from the region. Mm-hmm. So if we're making inroads, great. Because as we've talked since the start of this conflict, two things can be true at the same time. We can think that this area has had its difficulties with leadership. They've been ruled by tyrants. So some of these changes are good, but at what cost to the actual people, to the infrastructures, to the economies? That's what I always go back to.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different issues that rise with that. Yeah. But one that everybody here in Wisconsin is going to be talking about soon: how are those strikes going to affect your gas prices? We're going to talk about that and more when we come back. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. We hope that your morning is off to a great start. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, if you are listening on WMDX at 8 o'clock, you are going to be listening to Stephanie Miller. The rest of the network will stay with us. Or you can find us on the app if you want to stick with us for another hour and hear some of our great guests. But Brian, we have to talk about some of the consequences of this attack in the Middle East, because we're going to start feeling it at home, I think, in our own pocketbooks soon.
That's true. And the it's always us that feel the consequences. Right. It's never the people who start this. But according to Wisconsin gas price, well, here it is, the gas prices. They're going to surge across Wisconsin. Now, usually this time of year, gas prices do go up because the refineries are switching from the more expensive winter blend to the summer blend. And every year I get confused by the blends and they do the whole thing. But normally prices go up about 20 to 50 cents between Valentine's Day and Memorial Day. Well, that's going to look like, oh, you're going to long for the days of a 20% raise, because they're going to surge gas prices across the state because of, well, we've been mentioning it, the Straits of Hormuz, and the conflict in Iran, and the fact that oil is not going to be as easily available anymore. So get ready. Maybe you start riding your bike or not going anywhere. But I'd like to, like, you hear this news.
Right.
How does it actually change your day-to-day? Now, we've seen it creep up, but again, that's the normal increases for this time of year. So mm-hmm. you're probably used to that. But as we start looking forward and you know the gas prices are going to go up more, how does that affect your day-to-day? What do you change? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I know I forgot to ask that question before the break, so Frank's going to yell at me. That's inside. That's just for us. That's not for you. But I said it out loud anyway.
Well, you know, it's a new thing, so we're getting there. But I think this is an interesting question because prices in so many areas of our life are climbing, right? From mm-hmm. the grocery store to our electricity bills. I mean, this morning, if you've been joining us, we've talked about property taxes across the state. So now this is just another one of those added things. And honestly, when you think about it, for some people, it doesn't feel like a lot at first, right? When you're going from like 280, 290 in some cases, up to 310 to 315 a gallon, which is what gas prices are predicted to be over the next few weeks, it doesn't feel like a lot at first until it's sustained mm-hmm. over a long period of time and you're consistently paying it, or you have to travel a lot for work, or you have a longer commute, or the kids are in sports and you're following them around different portions of your region, because then you start to feel it. And then that's when it starts to add up, I think, for a lot of people. And even seniors, I think about them. I think of my mom, who's on a fixed income, you know, when she's got to travel to doctor's appointments 20 minutes from home. I worry about if she's doing okay financially. You know, rent and everything for her is so expensive right now, living on her fixed income and with her medicines and things. So then I start worrying about her. Are you okay? Do you have what you need to get to that appointment? Please don't skip it because you need to go. I'll give you the gas money if you know. So these are things that start going through my head when we're talking about these increases over the longer term.
Yeah, and you might say, oh, 20 cents a gallon, that's not much. Well, yes, it's in the whole, if you're buying 1 gallon, 20 cents is not a lot. If you're filling up your car, and right. I don't care what kind of vehicle you have, it does affect you. And it, like you said, Jamie, you worry about your mom. I'm like, I think most people, there's like, oh, can I do more things in one trip? You know, how can I be the most expedient with
right.
my mileage, and where can I get my cheapest gas? Well, if you are thinking about that, Kenosha County is where the cheapest gas is. According to AAA, the average price per gallon there is $2.73. I can't wait for the president to come out again and talk about this under $2 gas. And I also want to see if the same folks who put the I did that Joe Biden stickers under the old prices are going to be putting the Donald Trump I did that. And his will probably say, you're welcome. But so Kenosha County, the least expensive. The Green Bay area, the most expensive. The average price per gallon in Green Bay, $2.84. Madison, still second cheapest. That's not bad, $2.73. Milwaukee at $2.74. Then you get up into Eau Claire, $2.75. Appleton, $2.76. Fond du Lac and Oshkosh also at $2.76. So right around there, but they're saying it's going to go, it could reach between $3.10 and $3.15 in the next few weeks. And then seasonal price surges because of that, and then it'll go up from there. So,
you know, here's the thing too, I think of, and I'm going to say this admittedly because of the scheduling, I have a lot of things delivered to my house now. We live in a day and age of convenience, and I do a lot of grocery shopping online, menu planning, and then have it all brought to my door because I don't have the time to go out and do the grocery shopping. So obviously first world problems, and I know how fortunate I am to have that convenience at my doorstep. But I've also noticed already if you are somebody who relies on those delivery services, like I know a lot of us do, mm-hmm. you're going to notice some of those prices already starting to increase as well, as far as the service fees, the driver tips, all of that, because now you're looking at drivers who are doing a convenience and a service for you that are also going to have to justify what they're making off of those trips.
And if you're in an area where you rely on ride shares, Uber mm-hmm. and Lyft, get ready for those fees to go up, because listen, the drivers can't be stomaching eating the whole gas increase. You're the passenger princess. You got to pay too.
Right. And honestly, if you think about it on a local scale, this is why global decisions matter to all of us, because mm-hmm. foreign policy isn't this abstract concept that we all get to just dabble in. It's going to essentially show up in our monthly bills. And we aren't going to be able to control all of the oil markets, but we are going to feel those consequences. And when those costs start to rise, especially as quickly as we're potentially talking, it's fair for us to ask, how long is it going to last, and how much can I handle, and how high is this going to actually go at the end of the day?
All right. Well, if you are listening on WMDX on the radio, you're going to go to Stephanie Miller. Everybody else, you're coming along with us for the final hour. If you want to keep listening to us in Madison, make sure you go to the Civic Media app, or you can jump on YouTube and follow us on the stream and see how pretty we are. Christy Noem was on the block yesterday, and it did not go well for her. We'll talk about it.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.